What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trey Lance at quarterback, Davis next to him, back looking right, standing, running, moving in the pocket, throwing in the end zone, intercepted. In the end zone and bringing it out.
Is that Tony Jefferson again?
It is Tony Jefferson again, the 10-year veteran.
Brad Sham with the call here Saturday on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. In case you were wondering, we are that station, home of America's team and the World Series champs. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell back together again. We got Peyton and Carter in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. In case you missed the news, positive development for the Cowboys. Adam Schefter says the Browns are expected to leave Nick Chubb on the PUP list, which means he will be ineligible to be active during the first four games of the season. Was this something expected, or did people have their fantasy drafts taking Nick Chubb early, as I probably would have mistakenly if I had a draft yet?
So I had one of my drafts yesterday afternoon, and I did take Nick Chubb. Now, I believe I took him in the seventh or ninth round, I believe.
About injury?
Yeah, because I guess it wasn't already out there, but his projected points had him out already the first 4 or 5 weeks. So I figured, he was only like the 105th ranked player too. So it was pretty obvious that he was going to be a late pick.
I'm looking right now. Now, I don't know if this is updated, but it says he's the 37th rated running back.
That's low. I mean, yeah. So they're obviously.
So this does account for, because it does say he's put on the PUP.
Yeah.
So.
That's good for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Now, Adam Schefter with the very latest. Is this going to be good for the Cowboys? His update just a short time ago on ESPN when it comes to CeeDee Lamb.
Justin Jefferson is at $35 million a year. So, okay, let's say CeeDee isn't worth what Justin Jefferson is. He's a notch below. Okay, what is it? So is it 34? Is it 33? Is it between those two numbers? Is it 33.5? It's not that hard to get done. My understanding is there's not an issue with the years in the deal. I think in the end, ultimately, it's probably going to be just like the Jefferson deal. Jefferson was 4 years plus one that was left, 5 years in total, 1 and 4. And I would think that that'll be the case. That's not the issue. The issue is over the value of the deal. And the value should not be hard to figure out. And even if they can't figure it out, just sit down at a table and don't get up until that deal is done, and this player is back, and he's getting ready for the start of the regular season.
Are we really nickel and diming over $2 million? Is that why this is hung up? If that's the case, then the Cowboys need to just sit down and finish it. Like that sounds like that does not sound like a good enough reason to hold this up.
Well, what does that mean, the value of the deal, if 32, 33, 34? Is that what we're talking about?
Schefter's talking about like this gap
per
of
per year.
I should be paid 35, you should be paid 33. Like that type of a debate sounds like it's what's going on.
And what is actually going on with Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati?
He showed up to practice randomly out of nowhere. He's been holding in. But he actually participated in practice.
Yeah, and no one's going to miss games. He's not missing games.
No, he's not missing games. He was there practicing and active. And so, I mean, he could afford to miss games. I mean, all the money he's made at LSU and all the money he made in the NFL at this point is a top pick.
Could you make the case that Lamb was maybe waiting on Chase?
Maybe.
You can absolutely make that case. I mean, they're in the same ballpark of player.
He might have been waiting on Chase. I think it was more likely that if he was waiting on anybody, it might have been Tyreek Hill. That he was trying to see, all right, is Hill about to reset the market again way above Jefferson? I don't think anybody thought Chase would. There were some who thought Hill could have done something to reset the market.
Did he hurt CD?
Tyreek Hill?
Man, I know he didn't help him.
No, he probably helped him because he got so much guaranteed. And we had heard that CD wanted more guaranteed.
It's the
value. Yeah, so the guarantee amount might have actually helped CD a little bit because it said that he deserved more of his contract guaranteed.
All right, let's get to this list that came out. Charles Haley in studio at 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, this is the NFL quarterback tiers list from The Athletic. They do this every year. It's their 11th annual survey that they were doing.
God, and I can't believe that website's been around 11 years.
I don't think they have totally. I think it's a list that started somewhere else and then migrated with the writers moving over there. But this is basically they survey 50 different people across the NFL personnel landscape. It's personnel evaluators, coaches, different folks like that. And they ask them to put the quarterbacks on a tier, and then they weight the tier, and you get the average ranking of each player, and that's the list that you get. So if you are an average of 1 to 1.5, you're on tier 1. 1.5 to 2.5, it's tier 2. Tier 3, 2.5, 3.5, so on. And it goes all the way down to tier 5, which is 4.5 or more. And so here's the list that we have. Tier 1, and they describe a tier 1 quarterback can carry his team each week. The team wins because of him. He expertly handles pure passing situations, and he has no real holes in his game. The number 1 quarterback in the NFL, slam dunk. It's Patrick Mahomes.
I was just waiting. He has reached. There was a point where like everybody was just trying to find a way for Mike Trout not to be the best player in baseball. There was a moment for like a 5-year stretch.
Yeah, just ask the NFL players who had him 4 right. in the top 100.
And I feel like the same thing's happening with Patrick Mahomes. Thankfully, cooler heads prevail.
You have to go back 4 years. The list from 4 years ago, the last time you can find anybody who submitted for this list that didn't have him on tier one. In fact, in the history of the list, he's been on 249 of the 250 ballots. He's been tier one. So he's a slam dunk. Number one, easy. There's two other quarterbacks with him on tier one. Any guesses?
With him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's not his own tier. There were two other quarterbacks that were able to get tier one.
Let's not give people that much credit then because that's stupid.
Stupid. He is his own tier.
Josh Allen.
Allen is on there. He's ranked third with an average of 1.2. He was on 39 of the 50 ballots as a tier one quarterback.
So my wild card in this is going to be Lamar.
I know. It's tough to go. How would they?
My brain is saying go Burrow, but are they going to ding him for injury?
I'm with you. I would put Burrow there, but I don't know how they're going to do Lamar. I'll say Burrow.
I'll say Lamar.
It's Joe Burrow. He is number 2
in the
league.
I only did that to be different. I really thought Burrow.
Okay, let's make sure we give Sean credit for that. Yeah. And everybody keep track of that. Joe
Burrow. No. I'll address it. Bobby is such a, I mean, really everyone that I work with, they just want all their own credit. They want to pat themselves on the back. So when Trey Lance is throwing 5 picks, Bobby's lighting up the group text like, I'm going to get a standing ovation. I'm going to get all my flowers Monday. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I said there's no way that Cooper Rush isn't the 2 when the trade was made. I'd like to go back to that audio and figure out if you fought me on that. But now, conveniently, you want to forget that I dismissed Trey Lance, just automatically taken over for Cooper Rush, and get all the credit for that yourself. Peyton Russell, now Peyton's not bragging about this. I'm really attacking you, Bobby.
Yep.
But this whole air fryer hot dog thing, I'm the one who told Peyton to air fry the hot dog.
True.
The seasoning part is him, which is the dumb part of it. But the air fry part is me. But no one on this show is allergic to giving other people props.
Choppy and I both.
Gunners, bunch of gunners. I play with AI. Who else is a chucker? All time.
Gilbert Arenas
and Mello.
Yep.
No, Choppy and I both fought you on the Cooper Rush thing. You were right about that.
Oh, thank you.
And you're going to make me go back and dig where I think I have on 2-3 different occasions said, yeah, you were right that Lance was not the automatic backup quarterback. I have said that.
Y'all could say whatever I said. I wouldn't even know.
Let's see where Trey Lance potentially finishes on this tier list here.
Except for the Bud Light take, which I got wrong.
Tier 2.
I don't even know what that was.
You said it tasted like something.
Oh, yes. Green tomatoes. That's right.
A tier 2 quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situations in doses and or possesses other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier 3. He has a hole or two in his game, and there are a lot of quarterbacks on this list. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 quarterbacks on tier 2.
11 tier 2?
Yes. Would you like me to just start picking off examples, or would you like to guess some of these names?
Let's knock them out.
Number 4.
Let's put Lamar on there.
Lamar Jackson is on here at number 4. He had 23 tier 1 votes, 26 on tier 2, and then he had one person who put him on tier 3. Next quarterback who is tied. It's a tie. Their ranking came in as a tie for the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
Herbert.
Yeah, very good. Personnel evaluators here. You got to remember they love his traits. No Bell there from Peyton Russell. 19 ballots put him on
tier
one.
He's too busy in hot dog forums now.
19 ballots put him on tier one.
Air fryer forums. No, someone wants Peyton to air fry something per week. And do it as a good segment. Idea. Someone suggested
that. That'd be a great segment.
Yeah, that's a good one. Tier one, 19 people put him on tier one, 30 on tier two, one on tier three for Justin Herbert. One other player tied with him at fifth overall on tier two.
I see the smirk. I'll put Dak Prescott.
Nope. Smirking for the wrong reason.
Hurts?
Matthew Stafford.
Oh.
Yeah.
Zach Wilczek's boy, as I found out in drunk audio that we may hear on the G-Bag Nation today. Hopefully we can play it tomorrow.
I'm playing it. I'm telling Eric I'm playing it tomorrow if they don't get to it. Like, he's going to have to deal with it. Because, yeah.
Maybe he'll text you back since he can't text me back. Along with Spittle, Corey, Kevin, Dawson. Not that I'm keeping track.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Doesn't seem like it at all.
Yeah, Zach Orlovsky trying to argue that Stafford is like the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. Matthew Stafford was put on tier one by 21 people, tier two by 26. So it's like, okay, well, he was on tier one more than Herbert was. Problem is three different evaluators put him on tier three. So there is some, I guess it's a little more common opinion that Stafford would be on tier three than Herbert. The next name on the list at number seven overall, they're still buying the hype.
Trevor?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Rodgers.
They're buying Aaron Rodgers still. Now, he has dropped down a tier. Last year, they had him on tier one going into the year. He's dropped down this year because of the Achilles injury. 23 people still put him on tier one, but there were two that voted for him on tier four.
Wow.
Which is way down the list. Number eight on this list.
Dak.
It's a quarterback from Texas, but it is not Dak Prescott. That should narrow it for you, Chop.
Hang on.
CJ Stroud is next up on this list. You are.
All right. Okay. Because I was thinking like University of Texas. I was
No. 12 people put CJ Stroud on tier one, but he was pretty unanimously a tier two guy at 35 votes. Sean and I were talking about this last week while you were out. Are you willing to, are you going to come down on the opinion of, like, are you wanting to put in writing like a wall of takes about the Houston Texans this year that you don't think they're going to be as good as people are selling?
I don't think they're going to be as good as people are selling.
That's not related to Stroud, though, right?
No, I think CJ's a really good player. I don't know.
You still want to pump the brakes.
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, kind of like it's the same thing. Like, if you had a bad year, I would want to pump the brakes, you know, that on this thought that he could never play. Same thing on a good year. Like, just, you know, well, let's not, I don't, like, Parcells, don't put him in Canton yet. I think he's really, really good, but how much of it was, there was an unknown about him.
Number nine on this list.
Dak.
Fitting, since he took number nine's job. It's number four, Dak Prescott. He had four people put him up there on tier one. He was, outside of that, pretty consistently tier two with 37 votes, but nine put him on tier three. Right up here, one offensive play caller said Dak can roll out of bed and throw for 450. It's unbelievable. It's just those moments in the playoffs against the Niners or Packers where if you want to be tier one, one of those times you're going to have to put that team on your back and will a team to win. A defensive coordinator said, I have always given Dak a two. When I did it this year, I gave him a three. He proves year in and year out that he cannot get it done in the postseason. One executive who put him on tier one said without him, they would be a very average or marginal team. And a defensive coordinator said, Dak is probably the definition of a two. There are some holes. He's not perfect, but he's about as steady of a two as you can be. I'll just roll through some of the other names here on the tier two that are remaining. Jared Goff at number 10. Jalen Hurts, 11.
So Dak was 9.
Dak was 9.
Okay.
Jared Goff, 10. Jalen Hurts, 11. Brock Purdy at 12. Still does not get consistent support. Nobody put him on tier one. 16 people put him on tier three.
System quarterback.
The last two on this list, Kirk Cousins at 13 and Jordan Love at 14. Those are your tier two quarterbacks. And then they've got the list that they've broken it down by who moved the most spots relative in their ranking. Biggest mover on the list, Jordan Love, moved 13 spots. Biggest faller, Trevor Lawrence. Dak Prescott, the only movers really on the list, Stafford up 6, Lamar Jackson up 4, Dak up 1. Fallers, Justin Hurts. Fields down 2, Hurts down 4. Kyler Murray down 3 and Russell Wilson down 5 spots. But The big mover on this list is Jordan Love and then Matt Stafford getting six spots up as well.
Why is Chubby Luka trending and the team that apparently is coming after number 77 with a report this weekend? That, Below the Belt, and Charles Haley live in studio, all right around the corner, right here on Sean and RJ.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ton of basketball news over the weekend, and a story that I think we could have justified leading off the entire show with. Dallas Maverick games to no longer be broadcasted on Bally Sports Southwest. This got a ton of reaction on my social media.
No one's dying.
Was that a negative? Ugh.
Oh, I mean, now it's where? Because, Bally didn't impact me. You and I have, we have Bally.
Yep.
So I was like, it wasn't for us. It wasn't, selfishly, it wasn't a big deal. Now it's like, now what do we do?
Well, Bobby has a prediction coming up. The NBA announced Friday it reached an agreement with Diamond Sports Group. They broadcast games through Bally's Regional Sports Network, and they're currently going through Chapter 11. In the agreement, according to the WFAA, Diamond Sports will be able to telecast local games for 13 NBA teams this year, as it has in the past. But two of the teams opted out. They said, we don't want this anymore attached to us. The Pelicans and the Mavericks. So now we don't know exactly where they're going. Mark Cuban had said that they're looking to maximize distribution, and there is speculation. Bobby Belt, take it away.
Yeah, I think where we're going with this is direct-to-consumer, cost-free, ad-supported streaming platform like the Stars did with Victory Plus. Now, is that...
What is Victory Plus?
So Victory Plus is what the Stars announced earlier this year, which is going to be an app that you can either download on your smart TV, your Fire Stick, Roku, your phone, whatever else. But the idea with Victory Plus is going to be that they are going to have every game available for anybody to get over a free app, no membership cost, nothing. And that they are going to take the inventory from that, the commercial inventory, sell that, and then what you end up doing is you're basically using a broadcast TV structure like the TV networks would, and selling the ad space and generating your revenue that way. I believe the plan with Victory Plus, from what the Stars have said, is that they're also going to have unique content on there, and not just pre and post game shows, but other unique original content that they'll have available on that app. But that's going to be, they're going to kind of be the test case. Now, I believe there's a lot of people from the TV space who I think are involved in this Victory Plus thing. Like people who have been TV executives and things like that. I believe they're the ones calling the shots here. So it's going to run like a TV network. But I would bet, do the Mavericks end up partnering with the Stars or something? Or do the Mavericks get their own kind of platform? How do they approach one of those things? I'll be interested to see if it's that, if it's a partnership, or if it's a going your own way and creating all these separate apps. But this will ultimately, I think, be a victory for everybody.
Victory Plus.
Exactly.
Victory Plus. I would imagine they would partner just from the name. I mean, they're same arena, obviously. For now, yeah, you could use Victory. I mean, Victory wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, because it's Victory Plaza.
Right.
So you can absolutely, Mavs could fit in absolutely over there if you wanted to. And the Mavs are going to be able to reach a wider audience more consistently. The ad revenue will be great from that, I would imagine, because the type of eyeballs and the way you can track, I'm guessing, much easier app usage than you can TV ratings or anything else. Like, you're going to be able to give them all these different... going to be able to give them all these different, you know, metrics to advertise and things and say, hey, this is how many people we know are tuning into these Mavericks game coming off of an NBA Finals run, coming off of, or, you know, introducing Klay Thompson to Mavericks fans. So I think ultimately this is going to be better for everybody in DFW as a viewer, and it's going to be profitable for the Mavericks.
So we no longer have to factor Bally into our TV network that we buy, purchase, app-wise, whether it's DirecTV, satellite provider, all that stuff. Gone.
It's gone. It's felt borderline antitrust. Like, with the issues that have existed where it's you're held hostage to that channel in this market.
So how much lower is our cable bill going to be, if at all?
I'm sticking right now with DirecTV as I just got the Red Zone sports package.
Did you get the Sunday ticket?
No.
Or you don't need it anymore?
I don't need it.
Okay, because
I haven't gotten Sunday ticket for a couple years.
YouTube TV, man. If you don't end up needing it, YouTube TV, because Sunday ticket's cheaper through YouTube TV, and this year they're now letting you pick the four games you want in your four box for college and NFL.
I think DirecTV is copycatting the four box thing.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Very
that'd
Apple be really behavior. Nice.
I don't know if I can watch them. I don't know if that would hurt my focus.
Well, I don't think. If you're just watching like the noon games, you know, that'd be cool, right? Or the college football games, right? But if it's a team that you really, really care about, there's no way you can do all four.
I trust Siciliano. I did. He's gone. I trust Scott Hansen to just bring me every single highlight and throw, which they do. If it's a nice 30-yard throw, they go and show it. I love it.
I'll say I think the four box is more valuable for college than NFL, because college, it's like every week there's so many different games going on. You're trying to keep up with so many things that, you know, as long as you have a big enough TV, Sean, you know, you could just be able to focus on that. That one quarter isn't so much of a problem.
You don't think my TV's big?
No, I think yours is. That's why I'm saying that you should be fine. I'm talking about my TV.
I should have probably gotten a bigger one. Florio, Pro Football Talk.
Couldn't carry it with the hands.
Wrote this. because I just carry my TV around my house.
Yeah.
You know?
And then everybody does. That's right. Come on now.
A feature fans have wanted for years is finally coming to Sunday Ticket, a customizable multi-view that allows you to pick two, three, or four games that will be on one screen. YouTube is ditching the old system of having pre-selected multi-view options and letting viewers put any combo of games they want on the screen.
What a novel concept. Hey, let's let you put the games you want on your TV screen, not the ones that we choose for you.
Yeah.
I had always thought that was a...
That's weird.
I always thought that was either... I thought that was a network, like, arm twisting, where it's like, no, we don't want you four-boxing us with other networks. Like, you got to pick stuff that we own.
You won't be able to do it if your local CBS or Fox is airing that game to have it in your collection of screens, but that's where we are with that. All right. Goran Dragic had a basketball send-off that everyone was in love with. He had like a final basketball game. And I love just going up and down the rosters because it's, you know, way back time machine memories. Steve Nash, Goran, Vladimir Radmanovic, Vucevic, and Chris Bosh were on one team. On the other team, Team Luka, Dirk, Bogdan Bogdanovic, The Joker, Luis Scola, Robin Lopez.
Jeez. Oh, baby. And Luis Scola, man.
They couldn't put Dragic on a winning team to send him off.
And Luka went viral from some over shocker again, his weight and the way that he was appearing.
Yeah, he looked a tubby.
Well, when he ran out again, this is camera angle stuff. When he ran out for the intros with Dirk,
belly.
I didn't. some people said this dude just Zion.
But, yeah.
When he ran out with the intros with Dirk, I didn't notice anything. And then you look at this highlight going left to right on your screen. It doesn't. He's plotting.
He's plotting. Plotting is a great way to put it. He's still got that rock tape or the KT tape, whatever it's called, on his shoulder. I've stopped asking questions. The dude has proven time and time again, it doesn't matter what his weight is or his physique looks like in July and August. All that matters now is what is he like? Forget come the regular season. It's what is he like come playoff time? Like, that's it. And he was hobbling his way through the Western Conference playoffs, and he still got this team to the NBA Finals.
What'd you make of the video of anything, Bobby? Something or nothing?
No, I mean, like Choppy's saying here. He is...
Someone said, why does it look like he switched bodies with Jokic?
Yeah.
This is what we were a little concerned about, right? Like the idea of...
Not after he played for Team Slovenia.
But if he doesn't get into the Olympics.
Right.
Remember, it was like, if he stays in the Olympics, he's in playing shape the whole time. If he's got, you know, a month to sit around and, you know, drink beers and
that's
stuff.
Slovenian beer, man. I wonder what it's like. It's gotta be high cal.
It's the same thing we go through or went through every year early on in Zeke's career, where people are gonna be like, he's gonna be playing himself into shape the first few weeks, and then we'll get the peak version of him when it matters most for the meat of the schedule, as one might say.
All right, before we leave that game, Paul Pierce was on Kevin Hart's podcast. You bleeped a lot of this, right? This was Paul Pierce telling a story. Mike Bassick is going to love this. Of Kevin Garnett trying to get himself hyped up while Dirk was kicking his ass.
G's will make up things to motivate himself. So I'm going to tell you this story. We play in Dallas.
That's great.
In Dallas. And Dirk is busting KG's up. So I'm on the wing. I'm playing defense on the corner guy. And Dirk make a move. And KG foul him. And KG like, man, f*** that shit. He called me a n***. I was like, hey. And I'm like, no, listen. So I'm like, KG, he didn't. I'm standing right there. He didn't.
Right.
He didn't. No, he didn't, KG. Don't say that. He said, yes, he did. He said it in German. I started to learn. He say things to get himself going.
Yeah.
And I was like, he didn't say that. I was standing right there.
He said it in German.
Loser. A total loser, Kevin Garnett. Which is why, Chop, you're going to be glad you weren't here last week when we read Hoops Hype's new list of the top 78 greatest NBA players of all time. And they had KG like four spots ahead of Dirk again.
That's just lunacy. The end of the careers dictated that. I mean, the head-to-head dictated that for that matter. But I thought you would love this. This is what, like, MJ used to make up stuff like this. He used to make up things about people.
Well, it's a Dirk nemesis, so Bobby has to...
Because, like, you know, this is what the greats will find any way to get themselves motivated, including lie to themselves. They know they're lying to themselves.
Good for Paul Pierce, though, not allowing that to breathe.
Yeah.
Throwing in N-words and stuff. And he's like, Kevin, stop. He didn't do that.
Well, because if he wasn't there to hear that or rebuff it, would KG have gone in post-game and said something like that publicly? Like, would he have, or was he just literally trying to hype himself up, or did he believe it?
What about this report from the Mismatch Pod? Kevin O'Connor on the Lakers targeting Luka.
I've reported on this podcast and on The Ringer how they have their sights set for Luka in the future. We'll see if that works out. Dallas just made a finals. Dallas is looking better than ever with their supporting cast. That may not work out. But the Lakers, by not trading their future picks, clearly, they're still thinking long term at this point. They're not going all in like you might expect many teams to do with LeBron James.
All right. LeBron, if LeBron was 30 years old, I think this is a huge fear for any Mav fan.
Sure.
At LeBron at 40 years old, Luka's not asking out anytime soon, I wouldn't think. I just don't see the fear. Like, Luka's...
What are you worried about less? Luka's weight or this Laker report?
That's a good one.
But they're both kind of in the same discussion. Kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not really...
saving it for the end of the segment you something.
I'm not worried about his weight because, I mean, he'll be in shape when it's time to go. And that's what the offseason's for. It's bulking season, man. He's just getting bigger. and then with this... If LeBron was 30, I'm scared. But... by the time Luka's ready to leave DFW, if he's ever ready to leave, I don't see... Do the Lakers mean anything to him without LeBron James?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about this is that this report is tying it into... Like, it's completely divorced from LeBron. The idea of being like, no, this is the heir apparent to LeBron, not somebody that LeBron would woo over here. This is somebody who's going to come in and replace him. The only thing you'd have to worry about with that connection, I guess, is he is close with Redick. Is Redick enough of a guy that he... Because, I mean, Luka doesn't like doing a bunch of media. He would sit down with Redick whenever Redick wanted him to. And so they're close. Is that something where he could tell him, hey, Luka, you know the way that we are. I know that you know I can help get you in the spot to take you to another level. I'm not that concerned about this. I'd be more concerned about the Sean Sharif created theory that Jokic and Luka teaming up. I think that that's the one that would concern me more than a Lakers thing, because I don't think the Lakers are a draw for him without LeBron.
You see them playing patty cake on the bench of Goran's game. Joker pouring water on his head and back and forth passing.
Man, same conditioning routine during the offseason.
Joker would run him into the ground now.
Yeah, probably. There's obviously no fighting between the Serbia and Slovenia population, because they're boys. They're boys.
Oh, yeah. All right, Charles Haley in studio at 9 o'clock this morning. Who helped and hurt their case for the roster on Saturday with cut down day tomorrow? That's next. And below the belt with Roberto on the Home of the Boys after this. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
13th play, Lance Fade. Left side of the end zone for Flournoy. Did he get it? He got it. Seen that play in practice about a half a dozen times.
One of the star ups from Saturday's game, Ryan Flournoy. But was it enough to make the roster?
And a really nice pass, too, from Trey.
It was one of several nice passes he made. What did he throw? He threw two touchdown passes in this game, right? One to Flournoy and one to the Chargers, yeah, I believe it was. So there you go. Let's take a look at the guys who...
Did you get Tolos saying, the Tolos who criticized you last week, any retractions?
No. Isn't that amazing? There are a lot who dug it. I think most of the people who were saying, hey, make sure to hold Brian accountable were people who were on my side already. I guess I didn't go back and check on all of them.
And the great Brian Broaddus called in at 6:20 to own it.
Sounded a little dug in, maybe. Just a little. Just a little bit. But he was still saying he progressed. A lot of the stuff I got from Lance, I still got people who were telling me, you ready to admit you were wrong about Lance? He looks pretty good out there today. And this was, while he had four interceptions. And I was like, I can't keep up with you guys. But, again, to just show the inconsistency, much like Trey Lance, that exists on Cowboys Twitter, people were replying to quotes of mine, when I would say something good about what Trey Lance had just done in the game, and people were like, you're such a simp for the Cowboys defending this Trey Lance. Have you guys not listened to anything I've said for the last 6 weeks? Because no one would ever accuse me of being the Trey Lance hype man. That's not where I fall down.
No, it would fall counter to what you really want.
Absolutely. All right, so let's take a look at guys who helped hurt their cases, where players are at in terms of the roster construction, guys who are on the bubble. Brian and I have talked about this a lot recently on Love of the Star, which we recorded by ourselves on Friday while Peyton was playing golf.
Thank you.
Brian and I have talked about this a lot, the idea of the bubble player doesn't exist as much as our conversations would lead you to believe.
They already know. They've known for 2 weeks, I'm sure.
They know other than, I think when they get to camp, maybe you have five spots that they think are legitimately up for grab on the back end of the roster. And you carry 46 into game day, mm-hmm. which means the Cowboys probably enter training camp knowing who's going to be their game day roster the first day of camp. Now, guys can play poorly or guys can play really well, and that can shift and change sometimes, but that's not
common. It's one or two guys you're talking about.
And I think when we entered this game on Saturday, you were looking at a handful of guys, maybe five or six that were true on-the-bubble players. Like Andrew Booth, as poor as he played in that game, giving up that touchdown to Simi Fehoko, I don't think Andrew Booth was ever on the bubble. If he was, he may have gotten kicked off from that. But I think they knew Booth is going to be here, get him some reps, especially after the Bland injury. This is what they were going to have happen. So I think Booth was on the roster the whole time. Here are some of the guys that I think were legitimately on the bubble. Ryan Flournoy right there. I think Flournoy was on the bubble because of just a numbers game of how many receivers do we keep. I think he separated himself from Racy McMath, Tyron Billy Johnson, Jalen Cropper. I think Flournoy is the guy they would prefer. Their question just comes down to, can we afford to keep six receivers or not? Do we need to keep five and potentially add another guy on defense or keep an extra offensive lineman or, one of those setups like that? So Flournoy was a guy to me who I think was trying to make a case, make it difficult for the Cowboys to cut him and try to force them to keep a sixth receiver. And I thought he played well overall. He's a draft pick. That kind of gives him some leverage, I think, in terms of the Cowboys' minds of trying to figure out, we don't like cutting our draft picks typically. It's somebody we valued. We want to keep him around. The only thing that set him behind was injury during training camp. He's been pretty good most of the time when he's been out there. It's just he was hurt a little bit. Has Flournoy stood out to you guys at all through camp or games or anything else? Do you look at him and say, like, yeah, that's somebody I would prefer to have on the roster?
Yeah, he's stood out.
Is it enough to say that you would be willing to sacrifice an extra running back? Would you be willing to run with three backs given all the uncertainty about who's actually good in order to keep a guy like Flournoy?
So numbers game would be...
Let's say you're talking about Vaughn or Flournoy. That you're talking about you get to keep Deuce Vaughn or you get to keep Ryan Flournoy. And that's going to be what you get to pick.
Ooh.
Because I think Flournoy is the better player right now. And I think Vaughn is who most people would want to keep.
And who are my receivers in front of Ryan?
You would have CeeDee Lamb, assuming, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Brooks.
I'm gonna keep the receiver.
So you would rather keep Flournoy and just say, sorry, Deuce, we'll love to try and get you to the practice squad.
And I might want to keep Deuce over one of the other guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because your running backs would be...
Your running backs for sure that are on the roster, slam dunk or Zeke and Dowdle. That's it. I think Lipke's on as a fullback. And at that point, you're talking about, do we keep two more? Do we keep Vaughn and Freeman or Vaughn and Davis? How do we couple those up? My guess right now, when I was going through my 53 over the weekend, which I'll publish later today when I finalize it, when I feel comfortable with it. But my feeling was Vaughn is going to be on, I think. And I've got Flournoy off. Because I think they feel like they've got just numbers game that's crunching them too many other ways.
My issue would be, you know, obviously running backs get hurt at a higher rate. Knock on wood that you don't have injuries anywhere. But like the running backs get hurt at a higher rate, so I'd probably keep Deuce.
One of the other guys that I think was truly on the bubble heading this game, two guys actually, who I think may have been competing for the same spot, Josh Ball and Matt Wiletzko, two disappointing offensive linemen that you've picked in the fourth round over the last couple years. I think Ball's been better overall. Ball can play both sides. Ball can play tackle or guard. You can do a lot with him. I was given a little pause when I was going through my roster. I saw Calvin Watkins, for instance, put Ball and Wiletzko both on the roster. I had just Ball on there. I saw Todd Archer, I think, had just Wiletzko. And when Todd goes there, I really feel good about when Todd comes out with a 53 projection. And
Todd is joining us tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
He will. He'll preview things for us there. He made sure to, when I walked up to him, he made sure to troll me pretty heavily. In fact, when I walked up to him and Mashota post-game show, I saw Todd whisper in John's ear. I was like, I don't know what that's about. Came over, made a joke about Trey Lance, and Archer goes, Told you 30 seconds he was going to come over. He was going to say something sarcastic about Trey Lance. I knew it was coming. But Todd Archer will join us tomorrow, and he has Wiletzko on. Wiletzko, to me, has been troubling. Like, when I watch him out there against guys who are not even starting consistently, he's not stable enough. A lot of the pressure that Lance sees, I'd have a tough time justifying his spot over somebody else, potentially.
What about Julius Wood?
So Julius Wood
got the tipped interception the other day.
Yeah, and that's one of Brian's favorites throughout training camp that he watches and he just is a big fan of. Julius Wood, to me, the only issue there is just the numbers. Like, you've got four safeties that are locked in. Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, Wanya Thomas, and Marquise Bell. There's probably going to be a fifth defensive back, corner safety, however you want to call him. He's more a corner, but he doesn't play defense. CJ Goodwin. You're going to have to devote a special team spot to him, and that can be really tough because that eats up a spot that you're not doing anything for them. We always talk about what are you doing on special teams to justify being an offensive or defensive player on this roster. I personally have a tough time saying I'm only keeping you because you're special teams. So when it's only that decision and you're not giving me any other snaps anywhere else, that's something that's tough for me. But Julius Wood, I think if you didn't have Marquise Bell, if you didn't have Wanya Thomas, I think Julius Wood would be on. Somebody in the secondary who I think is a slam dunk to be on at this point, that after talking to people this weekend, that was the impression I got. And I was like, wow, I thought we were talking about him as a bubble guy. Israel Mukwamu sounds like he's on the roster definitively as a guy who can play corner and safety and do some different things for you and has performed really well overall.
I think we should get the number 51, 52, and 53 predictions from the Hall of Famer coming in studio to sit down with us. Charles Haley, you are now live. You're good to go on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan, as we get the headphones turned up. We good there with that, Charles?
I'm good, man.
You got it?
Yeah. Right,
just grab your mic and bam, welcome to the morning show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming in. How many of these preseason games do you watch?
Zero.
When do you feel like the preseason kind of like lost its importance? As we feel and believe too. It's like we have to watch it for our job, but it's pretty brutal to get through.
Well, none of the veterans play. I you know what? If I had to watch, it would be Kansas City because he does get out there and play. Rest of the teams, you know, they don't do anything.
How was it when you played? What was the preseason rules for starters? Like when you became, you know, a really good player, did you play at all? The third game?
I think we played like quarters. I know the third game everybody played, and then the fourth game the you played like a quarter or like the first series, and then all the people they get ready to cut played after that.
Did it do anything for you? Did you want to get some reps in the preseason?
No. It has no benefit. It has no benefit. A lot of guys get hurt because you're playing against guys that are trying to make a roster, so they're going to do the dumbest stuff, cut you, all this other stuff. So it has no purpose.
What do you think when you head on out to Oxnard in training camp and watch the way that things are done in today's NFL with the practices?
I think the guys got it pretty good. They don't know how good they got it. My problem is that they don't understand they need to do a little bit more. And that, you know, they need to run a little bit more. They need to watch film a little bit more. It's a lot of things they can do without actually hitting. But in order to learn stuff, you have to go through stuff. So you have to do the moves, do the pass rush moves, do the reaction move. But, you know, if you limit it, you limit that, then you limit your ability.
Charles Haley in studio, sitting down with us here on the Home of the Cowboys. More with Charles. You can call or text in your questions for him at 877-881-1053. The Hall of Famer and one of the best football lives that you could ever see. Charles Haley with us next on Sean and RJ.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.